Good morning, everybody. Right then, we're in today with a topic. I see this all the time online, and it seems like a battle is going to go on forever. So you got people to say something like this: "You're such an idiot if you think the body is as simple as calories in versus calories out. You're a buffoon. The body's so much more complicated than that." It's obviously not. You're like, "Oh my god, you believe in calories. Oh my god, you're in there. You believe in big food. You know, this type of stuff, right?" And the first thing is, like, calories is just a unit of measurement. You know, it's just the word we use to explain energy. Let's just change the word calorie to energy for a minute. So what they're saying is, you don't believe in energy, right? Which is ridiculous. Of course, everything is energy. Energy, the universe is like a dynamic system of energy. And they say they don't believe in energy, right? Which is a weird thing to say, because without energy going into your system can't operate. And if your system doesn't get enough energy, it goes to the stored access. So it goes to your fat stores, which is stored energy. So it will find a way to get stored energy and use that. And if you run out of stored energy, guess what? It goes to your muscle. And then it starts breaking down your muscle for energy. And it'll keep going until you die. Because, you know, you look at people in the concentration camps, they sticks and bones. Because they got no energy going in. And energy expenditure is going out. And nothing left. The body has tried and it cannot find any more stored energy. And then it'll shut down. Right? So we know the body's an energy system. It's a dynamic energy system. And the calories in versus calories out, or energy in versus energy out, is a simplified version of this energy system that is practical. That's the main thing about it. It's a very practical thing. Same as Einstein's E equals mc squared. It's a very practical equation. It's true. You know, you look at some physics kind of calculations, and they are wild. I did physics for A-level, and, you know, it's really, really hard. And some of those calculations are so long, and you could cut them down to like shorter versions that still held true. You can still do this in maths as well. So there is a simplified version of a complex system that holds practical value, right? But it's not exact. Of course it's not exact. No one is claiming that 3,500 calorie deficit a week, so 500 calorie deficit a day, equals an exact amount of 1 pound of fat loss a week. What we say is, it ranges. You could lose maybe 0.7 pounds of fat. Some people could lose 1.5 pounds of fat or 1.3 pounds of fat. How does it differ? Differs if you're where you start and your body weight at. It differs in your like fitness levels. It differs in sometimes the food, the macronutrient composition, because we know protein burns more calories to digest than carbs and fats. That's why you're on a higher protein diet, right? So protein requires more energy to digest. So, you know, it doesn't mean calories in, calories out doesn't work. It just means there's a few things that do impact both sides of the equation, and we've got to be aware of these things. Now, I want to bring you to a study that's an interesting one by Dr. Hall. He's got a PhD in physics, actually. So an interesting background coming into this. And he basically wanted to see, you know, how accurate is this equation? You know, is it accurate enough? Is it useful? You know, what's going on? And he was like, maybe it's not true. Maybe it is true. Let's have a look into it. So he was hired by a biotech company to stimulate the progression of diseases like type 2 diabetes to predict how our bodies respond to various treatments, right? So computer modeling. And then he continued to do modeling work for the US National Institute of Health, right? Then he confronted a problem his models couldn't resolve, okay? So low-carb diet advocates have long made a claim, a very bold claim, that it's not a surplus of calories that makes people fat. It's the insulin generated by a surplus of carbohydrates. So according to the carbohydrate insulin model of obesity, the easiest way to lose fat is to eat more fat whilst avoiding most carbs. Okay, big claim. Big, big claim. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence, as Carl Sagan once said. So there wasn't direct evidence support carbohydrate model of obesity, so he said, "I'm gonna go and check some. I'm gonna see if it's true or not. I'm gonna put these together." And what he did was, he got 19 people with obesity into a metabolic ward, which meant that they controlled all of their food intake and they tracked all of their energies burned for 4 weeks, you know, like a very, very tight study, right? So they basically ate a lower fat diet for 2 weeks and then low carb diet for the other 2 weeks. But they were given a gap between 2 to 4 weeks in between, which is very, a very important part of the study, right? So we don't have that kind of like, or maybe week 3 and 4 fat loss slows down or whatever. Break, two of them, let's go. So this is what the study showed, right? So remember now, he was trying to see if, okay, I get that weight loss is a math problem. It's not exact math. It's not exact maths, but it's close enough. But there are a lot of people out there saying calories are stupid and it's not calories, it's your actual insulin spiking caused by eating carbs that causes you to gain weight. So this is what the study reveals. Calorie for calorie, so energy for energy, fat restriction results in more body fat loss than carb restriction in people with obesity, right? And a more recent study used a similar setup, controlled, they did low-fat, plant-based diet, so think like low-fat, high-fiber, right? But with low-carb, with a low-carb, animal-based diet. So you've got low-fat, plant-based, right? And then you've got low-carb, animal-based diet, right? So you've got like a higher-carb, plant-based diet, and then a low-carb, meat-based diet. So think ketogenic diet, thank you, right? So this is what I said. They basically let them eat whatever they wanted to. Because remember, the keto and the paleo people say, if you follow paleo and keto, so just like lots of meats and cheese or whatever, your hunger levels go down, which means you eat less. So this is what the study looked at. Okay, you can eat whatever you want. Go and eat. There's no like limit on what you can eat, but you have to stick to your diet. You have to stick to these types of foods, right? Keto enthusiasts were going to claim, well, hoping this was a big study for them. But basically, the low-fat, plant-based diet ate 700 calories less per day than the meat-rich keto diet. So again, we've seen other studies that show something in the between. And again, remember, low-fat showed more fat loss than low-carb in the metabolic ward of 4 weeks. But overall, it's not statistically significant in a sense that, like, over a 12-week, 16-week plan, maybe it's, like, a pound or two or whatever, say. But the most important thing to realize is what foods you like, you know. So, like, in a very controlled metabolic ward, you know, that's not real life. We probably won't be following such a strict regime. And it's not worth the squeeze to follow such a strict regime. So it's more about what you can stick to. That's the main thing of all of this research. It's like, yes, all these diets, maybe some people prefer lower fat. Like I said, I covered this in a podcast the other day, but matching your genes to your macros, does that help you lose more weight? Because in the research, they do say, oh, well, some people react really good to low fat and some people react really good to low carb. Like, so does that mean if they prefer in it? Like, let's have a look at their genes, DNA. Look at their genes. Yeah, these are more like fat responders and these are more carb responders. All right, okay, well, what if we matched the diet to their macros, like their genes to their macros? Will they lose more weight? And if no, once you controlled calories and protein, there wasn't the case. So all this shows is that body weight change is a math problem, but it's a dynamic math problem. That's why we got the weekly check-ins in the app, because as you lose weight, your step count might change, you might be doing more training, whatever it is. Over time, your energy requirements change. They likely drop as you lose weight. Most of the time they do, but some people's activity goes up at the same time. So we need to make sure that your targets are still being tweaked. And the tweaks aren't large, but they can be significant in terms of keeping your results going. Okay, so if someone comes at you and says calories are stupid, blah, 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 just say, look, they've done a metabolic ward study, buddy. I don't know what to tell you. Like, they controlled their energy in, they studied their energy out. They weren't allowed to leave for 2 weeks. Everything was controlled. And, you know, the high carb group actually lost more fat, even though it's not statistically, like, doesn't mean that that's the same for everyone. It just proves that this obesity, this insulin model of obesity is false, right? So the energy equation holds true, but it's dynamic, right? So what that means is, like, whilst we can focus on our energy intake and our protein intake, we still have to look at our behavior, our emotional needs, our decision-making. Like, you know, they all impact these, the calories in, calories out, or energy in, energy out. This is impacted by all these things. It's not as simple, and this is why I don't agree with, I see some PTs and stuff online, they go, you're fat because you just need to eat less and move more, right? And whilst on paper, if you were to do that, going to a calorie deficit over time would let me use that, is true, it really does neglect the human side of the journey. Like, why do you think I do this daily podcast and in the WhatsApp groups and trying to speak to you guys and help you daily? Is because it's a lot more than just this equation. It's a huge mindset thing. You need support and community access. You need to be able to have your questions answered. You are going to freak out sometimes. You're going to try hard for weeks and your weight doesn't drop and you think, what's going on? And you panic and you want to catastrophize, and it's what we're used to. And you need someone to say to you, hey, listen, these plateaus are normal. There is a part of the process. You just need to, you know, not put so much emphasis on the weight for now. Look at all the good behaviors you're doing. Look at how you're managing your emotional eating better. Look at you're drinking a bit more water. You're eating higher protein. You're actually, some of you, trying to do weights and stuff as well. And you're doing all these amazing things. And you can't just distill it down to just a math problem, because it's a human problem. And changes in hunger levels also impact stuff, right? So they'll say to you, like, eat less, move more, easy. As you lose weight, your body does kind of fight back. This is not damage or whatever people say, but after you've lost weight for a few months, your weight loss starts to slow down, plateau, very normal, but very, very normal. And people panic from this, and then they just kind of bounce back, and they just, you know, they think, what's the point? But what's important to understand is, right, for every kilogram of lost weight, you burn about 20 calories less a day, right? So there's a myth that skinny people have quick, fast metabolisms, they say, and then people with obesity have slow metabolisms. But to be more accurate, people who are obese have higher metabolic rates. They burn more calories per day than skinnier people, because a lot of energy is burned through carrying the weight around. So as you lose this weight, your body has less weight to carry about. So your body actually burns less calories a day. So your initial calorie target you give needs to change over time, because as you're losing weight, your requirements come down, right? And that's why the apps will tweak your targets for you. But here's the kicker, right? So for every kilogram of lost weight, right, you burn 20 calories less a day. But your appetite for food increases by 100 calories a day for every kilogram you lose, right? So it's kind of like a 5-to-1 ratio going against us here. So if you lose 1 kilogram, you're about 20 calories less burned per day, but you know 100 calories more. You know, your body's like, hey, bring it to me. And this is shown in the Biggest Loser study, right? It's kind of called, it's called metabolic adaption, right? In that study, it's a normal part of the process, a very normal part of the process. So you'll start thinking, what's wrong with me? Why am I so hungry? And that's maybe a time to say, hey, maybe I go 2 or 3 days at maintenance. Maybe I just give my body what it needs for a few days and then I go back into it, because your hunger levels can increase. So it's important that you realize this. It's part of the process. And it's about, like, how I see it is like a home renovation. Typically, most people don't do a home renovation in one go. They will do some parts first, you know, and then in a few weeks, and they look around, they do another part. And you start building your home, and you start doing the wall, you start doing this and that, and things start coming together. But there's, like, periods of time in between the works where maybe there's nothing going on. You kind of realize maybe halfway through, actually, the plugs don't actually work over there. Maybe you've got to move them over there. Actually, I don't like the couch here. I should move things there. You know, you need to have these times between where you're given a break from the continuous work, so you can actually sit where you are for a bit. And that's how you really understand where you want to go. So a good thing for this, like, say, you know, you're in a deficit of 4 or 5 weeks. You've lost weight. You're feeling good. But you're starting to feel hungrier, right? Very normal. You're starting to feel, maybe my fat loss is slowing down. You can keep powering through if you want. And you can say, I'm a bit hungrier. Or you can say, hey, maybe it's time that I have this kind of, what they call in the research, diet breaks. And maybe it's a day, 3 days, 7 days. But you have to go to maintenance here, guys. It's not about, you know, this isn't cheat days. This isn't all that rubbish. It is just, I've been in an energy deficit for a while. Maybe I need to go into an energy maintenance for a bit. And when you go to energy maintenance, your hunger levels will drop again. Your kind of hormones kind of, and I don't like to use the word because it's kind of quacky. Some people use it, but like your hormones kind of reset a bit. Your cortisol levels drop. There's leptin and ghrelin, right? So these things can kind of normalize again, and you feel less like out of control with your eating. And it's important as well during these times that we look as well at our food quality, right? So I'm a big advocate in a mixed bag of foods. Like, I live in the real world. I like certain foods. I understand the foods I love. I know that the foods I love, I eat very fast, like, because they're so nice. I get it. I'm not demonizing that food. I'm just saying that's a highly densely calorie item. I eat it quickly because it's so tasty. I definitely can't have that every day all the time. Or I can't have them around all the time because I probably just keep eating them because they're so nice. And that's just the reality of those foods. So when we look at people's diets and how many calories they consume, if your diet is higher in ultra-processed foods versus mini-processed foods, you're likely going to be consuming more calories just because ultra-processed foods are high in calories, sugar, fat. They taste amazing and you eat them very, very quickly. That's why you eat more of them. So that's pretty much why you need to look at then, okay, well, maybe if I'm feeling hungrier, but I'm having one meal a day, which is veggies, lean meat or whatever, but I'm still having like protein bars and I'm still having this and that, maybe it's time to say, maybe instead of a protein bar, a 220, 230 calories, I'm going to put 200 calories worth of like potentially veggies or complex carbs or fruits in. So then they're going to help my hunger levels better. And then you say, well, maybe that's helped me, you know. Food companies have known, right, they design foods specifically high in carbs and fat and salt. So basically a 50-50 ratio of carbs and fat and high salt is like the magic formula for making our brains go wild. And people are like, nah, they're trying to kill you. They're just trying to make the tastiest food possible that you want to buy more of it. Like, it just simply comes down to that. And it just makes sense. Okay, well, we're going to make the best tasting chocolates. And how do we get people to buy our chocolate? Well, it's got to be the best tasting. They got labs and people testing out the best tasting chocolate, you know. They literally, their entire business revolves around you thinking it's the best tasting food. Right, okay, that's fine. Can I trust myself to eat, you know, normal amount of these foods? Some people, moderation is possible. Some people, it's not, like I mentioned yesterday. But there is a big, big movement now against these things. But you just consume too much energy too quickly with these foods. That's all it is. And they don't have much nutrients. I mean, cereals and stuff get added, vitamins and minerals, but yeah. So I think that rounds off this topic, and I want to cover it because I've seen a lot of the chat about it. So metabolic ward kind of proves the mathematical problem of weight loss. It's not simple all the way through. It's a dynamic system. It changes. It's not exact, but it's good enough for us to use. Insulin isn't the cause of obesity. Carbohydrates, and they're not the cause of obesity. You can definitely eat carbs and lose fat. All a higher carb diet will do is potentially hold on to more water, because glucose in the muscle pulls in about 4 grams of water per gram of glucose. So you can hold a significant amount of water in the muscle if you've been eating carbs, which is not a bad thing. But other than that, guys, hopefully it was a reminder podcast for some of you. Some of you, maybe it's new information. All you got to remember is trying to make your life easier, trying to make it simpler, so that whilst you can simplify the equation part of this, you can actually focus on the human part more. The human part is more important. Your relationship with the scales, your relationship with food, your relationship with yourself, how you view yourself, your relationship with what you wear even, and how you express yourself. Like, you know, ultimately we want to be expressing ourselves more. I came across a video the other day of, I think it was, I can't remember who it was, but he was saying, There was a book by an Australian nurse about people, you know, she looked after people before they died, and their biggest regret was they weren't themselves. They became people that they thought others wanted them to be. They weren't expressing themselves authentically. That's quite wild to think about. And I think to express ourselves authentically, we first have to delve into our relationship with day-to-day things that do cause us to change our behavior. You know, when we think about, okay, well, the scales have said today I'm 200 pounds. That society's told me I'm very overweight and I don't deserve anything. I'm, you know, disgusting. We have a bad relationship with scales. We wouldn't want to see our number because it makes us feel that way. With food even, you know, shouldn't be eating this, shouldn't be eating that. We have this kind of black and white thinking of food. And then that leads us to, like, you know, secret eating and getting this shame and guilt when we're home alone eating. And we turn to food to handle our emotions and all this stuff. And we become shells of who we are because we think we got to be X, Y, Z. And we, for us to untangle all of this, we have to delve into this relationship we have with things. And you can only catch these relationships or thoughts as they happen. So that's why daily weighing can actually be a useful tool in therapy. It's called exposure therapy. But you, every time you get on the scale as a scientist to collect data, you observe the brain and the thoughts and what it says. You say, wow, you know, I'm observing what my brain is saying about this weight, and like, where does it go back to? Or it goes back to this time when my mother said this about me, or my friend in school said this, and you start thinking, oh, it's just a thought that's going back to a core belief that actually isn't true, you know, and it's weighing me down. It's causing me to have a huge amount of pain every day because I think that because of this weight, I'm this person. But that's not true. So there's a lot of things we that are not true that we believe in. That's what you want to be focusing on. Like, you let the numbers handle themselves. Let the app handle the changes per week. Let that track with ease. You know, do that basic stuff. But look at the human side of you and put a lot of time into that. And you've got to be you've got to be objective. You can't be... So the way to observe these things, you can't be judging your thoughts and judging these things. You have to be very observant, like a child. Like, you have to be very like, ooh, this is interesting. You got to look at small things, and then you got to be just honest day to day with yourself and put the time into maybe journal or something like that, and things will change a lot for you. Anyway, rambled on for enough, but these are important things I really believe in. So have a good day. Speak to you soon.